Here's a commentary I call, Where Was Nancy? I'm Ronald Bruce Meyer. Nancy Patricia Pelosi, 52nd Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, as of Tuesday, 9/24/19, was talking tough about impeachment and the rule of law. She thinks Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America, should be subject to an impeachment inquiry for violation of campaign finance laws via asking a foreign leader to help him in his campaign against a political rival, former Vice President Joe Biden, something Ms. Pelosi calls betrayal of Mr. Trump's oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Sure, now Ms. Pelosi talks tough on impeachment and the rule of law, but where was the tough-talking speaker when Mr. Trump committed other high crimes and misdemeanors, such as obstruction of justice by frustrating law enforcement investigations into potential crimes, regardless of whether there is an underlying crime, for example, by firing James Comey as Richard Nixon fired Archibald Cox in 1974, trying to fire Robert Mueller, appointing William Barr as Attorney General, who in turn shot down investigation into violations of campaign finance laws, ordering former staff to ignore subpoenas to testify before Congress, refusing to obey subpoenas for documents related to congressional investigations. Please note that executive privilege does not apply here. Also by intimidation of a government whistleblower in violation of the Whistleblower Protection Act, suggesting that he or she should be executed as a traitor, and by obstruction of Congress in the exercise of their constitutional power to impeach under Article 1, Section 2, via ignoring subpoenas for testimony and documents. Or how about profiting from the presidency by violation of the Foreign Emoluments Clause, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8 of the U.S. Constitution, via A. failing to divest of business interests affected by his government service, and B. accepting enrichment from foreign governments and persons through his business interests, and violation of the Domestic Emoluments Clause, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 7, by treating the presidency as a profit-making enterprise beyond his federal salary without congressional approval, for example, Trump Hotel near the White House. Or how about abuse of pardon, Article 2, Section 2, especially those pardons extended to conservative political commentator Dinesh D'Souza, to former advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney Scooter Libby, to Sheriff Joe Arpaio for contempt of court, and the suggestion of a pardon for anybody who obstructs justice out of loyalty to Mr. Trump. Or how about abuse of power generally, including targeting Amazon.com for special treatment, as well as engaging in dragnet surveillance without a judicial warrant, in violation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, also known as FISA, violating the spending power of Congress by diverting appropriated funds to unauthorized uses, building his border wall, suspending foreign aid, etc., under the Federal Anti-Deficiency Act, also known as Section 3679, violation of the Faithfully Executed Clause, Article 3, Section 3, by putting officials in office who refuse to enforce statutes passed by Congress, for example, at the EPA, OSHA, FDA, FAA, FCC, Interior, CFPB, etc., and undermining constitutional protections of equal protection under the law by inciting violence against his political opponents, giving aid and comfort to white supremacists and neo-Nazis, the El Paso shooter, etc. Or how about persecuting political opponents by having the Department of Justice under his toady AG William Barr investigate the investigators of Russiagate, a conspiracy theory which I and many journalists smarter than me have debunked, and to investigate supposed corruption by presidential candidate Joe Biden? Or how about attacking the free press by denying press credentials to reporters who report unfavorable but truthful things about him? In addition, and in my opinion most egregiously, Mr. Trump has directed the extradition from England of publisher Julian Assange for revealing war crimes committed by the U.S. in Iraq, something for which Mr. Assange should be celebrated, not reviled. Or how about violating due process for asylum seekers and refugees by overseeing and encouraging cruel and unconstitutional imprisonment of children and their families at the southern border via denying due process and the right to apply for asylum under U.S. Code Title 8, Section 1158? Or how about violating campaign finance laws by directing a criminal conspiracy to pay hush money to two women with whom he had adulterous affairs, for which his former lawyer Michael Cohen is already in jail? Or how about undermining the federal judiciary by personally attacking judges and rallying his supporters to oppose the rule of law when the judiciary rules unfavorably toward him? Or how about subverting congressional oversight by usurping the power of Congress to make war via pursuing conflicts, many of which he inherited from past presidents, including Nobel Peace Laureate Barack Obama, in Afghanistan, Libya, Somalia, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, and Pakistan, in violation of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11? Or how about subverting sovereign nations such as Iran and Venezuela? We do not own these nations, and they have chosen their governments and their economic systems for themselves. We have as much right to intervene in their domestic policies and elections as the Russians have to interfere in ours. Ms. Pelosi herself has said that she held off on an impeachment inquiry because the Senate will never vote to convict. I find this explanation suspect. But let's assume for the sake of argument it is true. Failure in the Senate is still far from a sure thing because, 1, the high crimes and misdemeanors will be exposed to the American people in the case actually made against Donald J. Trump. It is highly likely that televised hearings will go a long way toward changing public opinion, as they did in the case of Richard Nixon. 2, each senator will be on record for how they vote on the articles of impeachment. 3, each senator will be voting with full knowledge that they will be held accountable at the ballot box for their vote. Furthermore, it is not a political calculation of the House to initiate impeachment proceedings. It is a constitutional duty to do so. And even if removal is not approved by the Senate, the precedent will be set for future impeachment proceedings. It appears that evidence of impeachable offenses by Donald J. Trump is, as it were, unimpeachable. Ms. Pelosi did not ask for my advice, but I will give it anyway. Even though past presidents, both Republican, G.W. Bush, and Democrat, Obama, have violated the rule of law, even to the point of committing war crimes, the House must go all in on all of Mr. Trump's impeachable offenses. What remains to be seen now, with what should be a slam dunk from the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives, is not how they will win over the American public to support the removal by the Senate of the most impeachable president in history, but how congressional Democrats will fuck it up. This is Ronald Bruce Meyer.